This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+, also a P for pansexual, P for polysexual, and an E for everybody else, because gatekeeping ain't our thing. I am extremely excited to be joined on the phone with the Australian musical sensation pop punk performance, Beck Sandridge. Thanks so much for joining us, Beck.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. As I was talking to you before we started recording, it's really great to have you on the show. We've been playing a few of your songs throughout the over the show over the last few years. Particularly, I think "I'll Never Want a BF" was one of my favorites. So it's really exciting to have you. One of the reasons we've got a chance to talk to you now is because we're finally going to be hearing your first album, which is debuting in October 4th. Now, you've been releasing music since 2015, and we're finally going to be getting a whole piece called Try and Save Me, all in caps, which again is set to release on October 4th. And the new single, Stranger, which is came out earlier this August, which is something that could give you a bit of a taste of what to look forward to. We'll be playing that tune later. You do not want to miss it, so stay tuned. But first, we'd love to welcome you to the show, and also the fact that, you know, you've written a lot of songs that touch on queerness and explore queerness in ways that I think are still quite new in the Melbourne scene, which is that part of having it as a part of you and your performance without it being a sole focus, or without it kind of just, without it basically in a way that's really normalised, and just that frustration of giving a number to friends when your girlfriend's right beside you, which I think a lot of femmes can relate to. Now, you performed at the Midsummer Pride in Feb this year, and was that one of the first times you've performed in front in like such a queer event, or have you been starting to move into those events a bit more?
I've been doing a bit of DJ stuff more locally in like Wollongong and at like Peachay, and been working with like the guys at Queer Town in Melbourne, and so I've been doing a couple of little things, but it's probably the first like, oh no, we did what's that? Chill Out Festival? I think so, yeah, like a year ago, which is awesome. So yeah, we've kind of been doing a couple, which has been really cool. I'm excited. I think we're going to do another really cool queer festival next year, but I don't think it's announced yet.
Keep our eyes out for that one. Does performing in those places, does it help you feel connected to the LGBTIQA+ community?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just completely different, like, you know, to something like Instagram or Facebook, you know. I get so many lovely messages from people and emails and that kind of thing. But, you know, often I kind of, like, busk a lot in town to, like, connect with the general public, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to be in a space where everyone feels safe and everyone feels seen and heard, and I think it's awesome. It's like one of the coolest things ever.
It's interesting because in an interview or a statement you gave out around the upcoming album, you mentioned that it touches on a few things: breakups, mental health, but also coming out to your family. So has that been quite a recent thing, or is that something that you're just now starting to want to explore in your music?
Since I'll Never Want a Boyfriend, it's probably the first time I've realised how much coming out to my family and my friends affected my mental health. At the time, I think I was maybe a bit blinkered. I was like, you know, that's done. It hasn't affected me that much. But actually, I had a really difficult time coming out to my family. But it was like when I was 22, so good, maybe 5 years ago. But my like parents didn't react really well. And like one half of like my mom is super Pentecostal Christian, and you know, she thought it was disgusting. I mean, up and seeing a therapist together, and you know, it was just really rough. And as a result, like, I found myself being really socially anxious and paranoid of what people thought of me and how people saw me as, you know, disgusting or different or weird. So I had to, you know, really embark on a kind of a therapy journey, which, you know, 5 years later, I can't really say that it's, like, I'm 100% healed from, like, coming out to my family, but I'm definitely on my way, which is I'm feeling like really strong and really bold and brave of who I am, which I think, you know, when I was little, I wouldn't have been able to say.
Yeah.
I think like now I'm ready to talk about those kind of things and how that affected me. And so a lot of the songs on the record talk about, you know, how I feel like now I struggle with like trust with like other relationships as a result of coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I kind of grew up with like Christian friends and feeling like I didn't fit into that, but also I didn't want to feel like I couldn't hang out with those people. And, you know, a lot of it for me was I had to kind of learn patience with my family and forgiveness, which is really hard because, you know, I didn't think there was anything inherently wrong with who I was. And it was hard. My mum and I had to, like, really kind of go on a therapy journey. So that's kind of what the record touches on a bit. And, I don't know, it talks a bit about, like, my gym bro brother and my agnostic atheist dad and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because often there's a lot of assumptions that coming out as a bisexual person or as a pansexual person is a lot easier and people aren't as going to react negatively or that it's not a big deal at all. And it's interesting to hear that, you know, it still comes with a huge amount of anxiety and can also go badly and need, but it also sounds like your mum did go on the journey with you to an extent, which sounds like there was a place to heal from there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, initially she booked us in to see a psychologist and it was a psychologist from her church, which I hated. I was like, come on, this is a nightmare. But actually she had, she was actually kind of cool because she was like, I want you both to have a compromise for each other.
Yeah.
And it was actually, my mom was, I think, a bit pissed off with that from her, but I was just like, yes. I was like, I want my girlfriend to be accepted into our family and allowed into our home, which is kind of like a double banger. But from there we kind of looked at how we could, you know, have small kind of compromises and small moments of understanding. I don't know if I just digressed or if I answered your question.
No, you did. So your mum wanted to have the therapy like on her home territory and that didn't quite work out the way she wanted with the ref?
Oh, I was so angry at the time. I was, I think, 21, 22, yeah. I was just like, this is a joke. So I think initially, like, my song kind of started from a really angry place. But, you know, I really wanted my mum and my family to be in my life and I didn't want to have to compartmentalise who I was. But when I first came out, like, I told my mum that I remember I was like, I had to tell her, I was like, I only like women because I didn't want to give her a chance of hope in thinking that I liked anyone else or, you know, I didn't want her to think that maybe I could
it was a phase
marry someone from the church. since then we've been able to have really flexible, open conversations about where we're at and that's really cool.
It's interesting because I found that with my family, they had a much easier time accepting my brother being gay than me being bi, just because there was that whole sense of, haven't you made up your mind yet? I thought, I'm getting confused, I can't keep track. It's like, it's not that hard. It's just people.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting you mentioned that anxiety in relationships because, of course, when you're bi or pan, you have to come out on a date, which can be a whole experience and can often lead to a bit of not always positive receptions to that. So it's really, so I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge that it can cause and exhibit like a lot of anxiety. I think there's a lot of memes saying that social anxiety is bi culture.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And so with your,
so tricky.
Yeah. Well, and with your, and so you explore that a lot with the new song Stranger, which again is a really phenomenal, really phenomenal tune. I adored it. And I definitely saw it as an ode to anxiety and as well as I think you mentioned body dysmorphia and just that kind of sense of feeling like an alien or feeling like you're kind of completely separate from everybody around you, even when you're in a crowded room. Now, you said it was the most honest you think you've been with yourself. And do you feel the album as a whole is also along that same path? It's, do you feel like this is the album is a very honest or raw album in the way that that song is?
Yeah, I think my older stuff, I always, whenever I'm talking about something personal, I kind of always have my tongue firmly placed in my cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe Stranger was my first attempt at, like, just being vulnerable and saying this is, you know, how I feel without the laugh.
Yeah.
Something I struggle with because my family and I myself all have a really dry sense of humor, and I feel like, you know, that has its place to talk about difficult topics. But for me, when I first wrote this song, I went into it and I wasn't really sure what the song was going to be about. I started writing with this guy, Oscar, from a band called Holy Holy, and I just had the first verse that kind of talking about, I won't leave my house today, I've got 1,000 things to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is about anxiety, yeah, yeah. I was like, yes, everyone knows I've got social anxiety, I'm like, I'm a bit awkward, introverted, blah, blah, blah. And then I wasn't going to finish the song, and then I feel like, you know, in the last lot of our sessions, I kind of just spat out this word stranger, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm such an idiot. This is about, you know, feeling completely foreign to myself and not feeling comfortable in my body and who I am, and being kind of paranoid of how people see me. And then I was like, oh, this links to me feeling, you know, kind of like a stranger to myself when I came out, but also, like, I felt like it was at a time when I was struggling with, like, I'd kind of just been thrust into doing, like, public performances, and for me, being quite introverted, I found it really difficult having to talk to a bunch of strangers and feeling like a stranger, but then also, like, people commenting on how I look and how I sound, and, yeah, it was just, like, a big, like, 1,000 light bulbs going off in my head, and I'm just like, I'm an idiot. This is what the song's about. But, yeah, it was kind of cool. Like, I found myself, like, almost observing me going from, like, the child chair into the adult chair in the chorus, where I'm like, oh, this is anxiety on surface level. And then towards the end of the song, I was like, oh, okay, this is really going, this is what's going on.
It's like, it's about anxiety, but also the underlying things that contribute and how it can feel. And the video clip is amazing. And I saw that it was designed by a drag king, so who will probably be quite familiar with that sense of performing versus realness and losing touch with the person you're putting forward and the person that you want to be.
Yep.
Are you?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Yeah, because it's like always showing a facet of yourself, but it's never like a holistic picture. I struggle with, but yeah.
Do you watch much drag, or have you thought about doing drag, or things that kind of let you get to present a bottled version?
I've never done drag, but I'm always really interested in aesthetic and how different, like, personas kind of come out on stage.
Mm.
But a lot of my friends are interested in drag or perform in drag, and I think it's like such an art. Yeah, I don't know, maybe one day. I'm not sure. I'm just going to stick the old music for a little bit and see how I go.
Well, I imagine people might end up doing drag to your songs. Should be pretty cool. Bit of inception there.
True. I'm DJing at this Rocky Horror Queen Night in Wollongong on Thursday, actually.
Oh, exciting.
So, maybe I'll get some cool drag makeup done or something. We'll see.
Oh, I think Rocky Horror is
amazing.
Oh, fantastic. You've got a makeup artist at hand. Oh, you've got to go for it.
Yeah, he already said that he would happily do my makeup. He's got a vision.
Has he? Okay. Well, I think it can be interesting to kind of get a chance to be a little, to paint something else on, particularly when it comes, like, I know with anxiety it can help to have an extra shield between you and everybody else in the form of some very extravagant makeup.
Yeah, totally.
And so this new album, how long have you been working on it? How long have you been working on the Try and Save Me?
I kind of wrote it probably over a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been finished for about a year, or maybe just under. So quite a while, just a bit perfectionistic. So loosening the reins is a struggle.
Again, another deeply relatable thing. I think, do you see your perfectionism as like a strive towards excellence, or as a bit of a shield? Because you mentioned that it can be a bit hard when everyone starts to comment on all the aspects of yourself and like your appearance and your music and your sound.
Interestingly, I listened to my psych referred me to a podcast on perfectionism, and it talks about being kind of perfectionistic, not out of anxiety, but rather from your values. Which was kind of a really interesting way of looking at it. Mm. And I definitely feel like sometimes I strive towards the unattainable perfection out of anxiety because other people are going to see it rather than from a place of me being really proud of it and content with how something presents.
Yeah.
I think it's something interesting to work on for sure.
Yeah, well, I think the first step is understanding it, hey?
Yeah, totally.
And have you played much of your music to your therapist? I'm curious about that.
I actually showed her this song, but I feel like maybe she was cautious to give me too much feedback. But she was like, we can talk about the lyrics if you'd like to, but I really like the song. And I was like, yes, my validation.
I'm going to get an A in therapy. That's how I feel all the time.
I was like, man, that's the most I've paid someone to listen to one of my songs. And get a validation.
So you're as part of the release of this album, you're doing a huge tour around the country. Do you have some techniques that you have when you do start to feel anxious around performing then, or ways that, like, you know, scripting to answer particular questions you might get asked by fans?
I definitely need to start thinking about more effective ways to manage my anxiety around touring. But when it was summer last year, I started kind of like looking up places I could go swimming. So we could, because I just always feel really relaxed when I do laps, probably because it's the only time I kind of have my phone or listen to music or do anything worky. So I really like swimming, but if it's right before performing, then probably just either doing really lame colouring in, like those little mindfulness colouring in books.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Or listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Or I like putting on really daggy music in my band, and then I'm the only one that's probably enjoying it.
Oh, but that's fun too. It's like when I tell bad puns. I know that no one finds them funny, but I do.
You're like, come on, guys.
I'm enjoying your displeasure quite a lot.
Yeah, totally.
That's the fun of playing cheesy music as well. Now, I have got here, so the day that your album is released, you're actually going to be playing in Queensland at the Foundry. So you've got two dates. Yep. So we've got So Queensland on the 4th, New South Wales on the 5th, you're in Hobart on the 12th, then we can find you in Adelaide on the 18th of October, and then you finally come to Victoria on the 19th of October at the Howler. It's a pretty phenomenal tour. If you Google, you can find the list at songkick.com, and we'll post it up on our socials as well. So this is probably the biggest tour that you've done, is that right? That's what I was seeing.
It is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Scary.
Absolutely, but I suppose as well, like, that sign of the next step. You've released an album after a few years of releasing music, and now you're ready to tour Australia and get everyone to fall in love with you. And it's that's always terrifying. Putting yourself out there, I imagine, makes me feel. I mean, I get to do it without people having to look at me, which is always a bit of an advantage.
True. Yeah, no, that's still scary. I don't know. You're showing people that you care about something excites you, and I don't know. I think it's still scary.
It is. But cool. And I think, but that's it, isn't it? It's the scariness comes from knowing that there is an element of bravery in any kind of vulnerability that is consumable, really. Any consumable vulnerability.
Yeah, everyone's scared to be like, this is something I love. Like, I don't know why. People are so silly. Like, I think it's cool when people are like, this is the lamest thing in the world, but I love it.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Just even scratch out the first sentence, just like, I love this. Yeah, I think it's really cool quality.
Well, as an avid fan of Dungeons & Dragons, I can definitely attest to that.
My housemate was trying to convince me to start a Dungeons & Dragons night in Wollongong. I was like, I want something, an alternative night in Wollongong, because there's not that many things that aren't, like, alcohol-centric or, like, Bob and I. She's like, yeah, let's do this first, and I was like, I don't know, it's pretty niche. She's like, trust me, people will love it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot less niche than it used to be, partly because of people being really, like, a lot of live streams. And again, people just being able to be openly enthusiastic about it and finding other openly enthusiastic people. But I think that's – I could talk about Dungeons & Dragons, but that is not why I have you there. I will not
– I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, like, so Wollongong, so that's your hometown, and you're doing your final show there to wrap up the tour. Cool. So
I think we cut out.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, there was a bit of a crackle. So that's okay. Growing up in Wollongong, so you mentioned that your family or your mother was from a religious background, but in Wollongong, you mentioned there's a few queer nights there now. Has that been improving over time, or has it always been a place that was relatively tolerant or accepting?
I think it's a relatively, like, past 2 years, because I was living in Melbourne about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and then when I came back, it seemed like there was like maybe one or two nights that were popping up, but they were more like once a month kind of nights.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's some more kind of like, yeah, diverse nights at the moment, like more weekly, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's really cool, I reckon.
And how did you find the move back? So from Melbourne, which is, you know, a lot of music, a lot of queer music, a lot of queerness separately as well, to going back out to Wollongong, has it been an easier space to create in?
I think if I'm completely honest, yesterday I had actually a real big rant with my housemate and my partner. I was just like, I'm sick of there only being bro night, rah, 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 rah. And then like, sick, quit complaining and do something about it. And I was like, yeah, true. So I think sometimes I feel like really optimistic that there's like more things popping up. But especially coming from Melbourne, because it's just, you know, such an abundance of options and like, you know, probably Monday to Sunday options. But I think everyone's starting to kind of rally behind the smaller nights, which is really cool. So the move was kind of hard, but I think also like it's a good eye-opener because, you know, I think regional towns really need, you know, diversity and visibility and representation, just as anywhere does. So, yeah.
And it sounds like you're going to be a part of making more of it.
Hopefully. Ooh, pressure's on.
Well, I think, well, again, as you mentioned, just by kind of being yourself, you know, flaws and all, quite openly, that tends to be doing a pretty good job. So you mentioned earlier that when you hadn't felt a lot of anxiety until you came out to your family, and then that didn't go as well as you'd hoped. Did you, having now spent, you mentioned about 5 years going through therapy and working that out, does that still hold up, or was there anxiety beforehand that just wasn't showing in the same way? Or
I think I've always been like quite sensitive person in a lot of ways, in terms of like, I don't know, my mom has kind of always raised me to believe that like empathy is like one of the most important things that someone can, you know, hold as a value. Mm-hmm. And with that, there's a lot of pros, but then also you can sometimes be like hypervigilant to how other people are feeling and how you're feeling. And with that, I think anxiety is kind of inevitable in some ways.
Yeah.
But, I think, I don't know, I care a lot about a lot. I feel like, yeah, anxiety is...
Yeah, when you care, anxiety comes with it, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, like, my perception of it's changed. Like, I think initially I was like, oh, my gosh, how do I get rid of it? Like, how do I get rid of being anxious? Whereas now I'm like, actually, no, this is a really cool thing, even though sometimes it's really not useful if I'm not able to manage it. But I feel like I'm in a place now where I can kind of say, actually, no, I'm feeling anxious, and also other people have felt like this before, and therefore I can relate to other people and empathize with other people in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So I think it's just shifting our perspective.
One of the things that we've talked about a bit on the show before is that the BIPLUS community tends to actually have very high rates of diagnosed anxiety as a whole, some of the highest in the community. Again, just due to that kind of constant sense of not really knowing where we fit in and where we belong and how that's supposed to move. Do you have any insights onto how you start to like own a sense of belonging and a sense of pride, as you're mentioning before?
Owning a sense of pride and belonging. I think it's important to feel like you have a sense of pride and belonging within yourself, but also to make sure you have the right people around you to support you. And if you don't, then I think it's important to, you know, start looking and being proactive in having people that can support you in the right ways, which sometimes is hard. Like, you know, for me, yeah, as I said, being an introvert, sometimes I find it hard, like, making friends or, you know, I feel like a lot of events, especially if you're in your 20s, 30s, like, they're all, like, alcohol-centric, which is, like, the most hard if you are anxious. But, yeah, I think just, like, starting to unpack what being proud looks like to you and what a sense of belonging looks like to you. And then I'm a real mind map queen, so I feel like you know, mind mapping what those things actually look like. I feel like
how do you make a mind map? Sorry, I just like I was.
I don't know. Like for me, I guess like being proud of something would mean, you know, being bold and being courageous and, you know, being confident in being a bit gross or like flawed or whatever. And then with that, I feel like in terms of like I'd like mind map out like in my career, how can I make, you know, bold, courageous, gross decisions, and then mind map out people who I'd like to work with who kind of echo those kind of like values. And then in my friendship, like think of people who I think are doing this in my local area who I could, you know, team up with, including a cool local event or something like that. So kind of like just like looking at different areas of the life that you can kind of position yourself in a better way or something like that.
I like that. So be bold, be brave, be a bit gross.
Yeah. I've got like a little Bex Andrews mind map, and I think at the top of the list it's like being proud of being gross and courageous or something like that, and working with people who have similar values and who want to be kind of trailblazing in like a really gross and friendly way. Yeah.
And so how has the response to Stranger been for you? How has it been to hear people comment and write about a song that you've mentioned is the most honest you've been with yourself and others with your music?
I think it's sometimes hard to gauge, like, as a lot of it's by social media. But I've definitely had a lot of really nice messages on Instagram and on Facebook, which I will read and respond to. And, yeah, that's been really cool. And we have, like, some really cool playlisting in, like, Italy and India, which are, like, new territories for me. And,
amazing.
That's really cool. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it's been pretty positive.
And so, well, that's great, I suppose, coming up to the release. How are you feeling about the album dropping?
I feel nervous, laughter infused. I feel nervous, excited, I think. But I feel kind of like I've worked on it for so long, so I'm kind of like, I think, pretty prepared for its like roll out.
Yeah.
Like I've got, you know, the next single ready to go and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
And it is coming up soon. I'm personally very excited. I actually hadn't put together that you hadn't released an album yet, because I suppose I just listened to songs as I found them, and there was such a decent backlog that I wasn't until I went through, I'm like, oh, these are all EPs. These are all small pieces. Is it an album that you want people to listen to, like, from start to finish, like, as a story? Or is it an album that you think works quite well as different singles?
I think they're kind of all different little stories, which is probably a reflection on me being, 28 and more of like a singles EP kind of gal. Like I never thought I'd make an album, which I know is really bad for me to admit as an artist, because I feel like...
It's okay to admit it when you've got one coming out in a month though.
Yeah, but I don't know, like I feel like they're all like good standalone songs and like tell their own story, but they all chime in like pretty like, better things.
So it can be listened to as singles. So singles about exes and therapy and relationships, which is honestly, I think, something that a lot of the queer community is all ready to have more of. Have you done much looking into or reading about bisexuality specifically or around the bi plus community?
Mostly like a lot of my friends are bisexual or queer, so I feel like I haven't done a lot of literature, but when I was at uni, I studied English and sociology, and one of the subjects kind of was men and masculinity, but then also a lot of sexuality kind of topics.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of like uni reading, but it's probably like hard on the nerd zone kind of like end of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely keen to like look more into it for sure.
Yeah, well, I want to ask because there's a big movement that's been happening around bi-plus acceptance because of the, you know, sometimes the difficulties in our communities and our societies of kind of accepting that attraction can happen without gender being the primary factor of it. That sounds very academic, doesn't it? So has there been...
Sounds good.
So have you, like, are any of your friends or yourself, like, had a look at some of the bi groups that exist on social media, like on Facebook or on Instagram? Or are you both, are you all kind of happy just to kind of talk about it amongst yourselves? Or do you talk about it amongst yourselves?
I think we do talk about it amongst ourselves, but I would definitely love to see if you should send some more over. Like, I'm a massive nerd. I love reading.
Yeah, and I suppose for me that was how I started to kind of move past just kind of accepting that I was queer, to accepting what it meant to be multigender attracted and what, where that stood in the history of LGBTIQA plus rights and what the kind of radical notions around it were and how it, why it was challenged so much and why people still seem to struggle with it in ways that they maybe didn't feel as much of a struggle with around gay and lesbian identities. So last time, how can people find you on Facebook and Instagram? You mentioned that you use your platforms before. Yeah. What are your handles?
My handles are just my name in the most narcissistic way possible. yeah, just
branding.
Yeah. Boom.
Excellent. Beck Sandridge. So Beck Sandridge, that's B-E-C, I'm not, no, B-E-C-S-A-N-D-R-I-D-G-E.
Wahoo, that's it.
Yes, spelling scores. So, and again, we'll be posting up info around where you can find tickets for her show all across. Take a listen to Strangers. We'll be playing it right after we finish up this interview. It is a wonderful tune. We hope you enjoy. And Beck, any sign-offs or anything you'd like to let people know before we close up?
No, just have a good afternoon.
Oh, lovely. Well, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me.
It was really lovely.
That was Beck Sandridge about her new, talking all kinds of stuff, particularly around her new single, Strangers, which we'll be playing now. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass on Dawn 94.9.
Do I? Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.